Welcome back to EcoTalk, and we are speaking to one of California's shining leaders. He has been for a long time, Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. He has been one of those green guys from the start, and we're talking to him about what it's like working with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Before we get into nuclear and other sources of power, just tell us, you know, sort of if you could picture a column, you know, what Arnold is good on, what he's bad on environmentally.
Well, he is really he fancies himself a salesman. And he really likes to go out and sell. And right now he's selling the environment. He's selling the need to go after the greenhouse gas crisis and moving California smartly forward. The more he talks about it, the more he embeds himself in getting it done and committing himself to getting it done. We've got some big, big issues out ahead of us. What are we going to do about carbon trading? What kind of a cap are we going to have? When will it go into place? How tough will it be? How much will we really be able to reduce, or how much will the law and regulations require? I'm delighted. I'm absolutely delighted he's back in Washington and New York talking green, because when he comes back to California, he has committed himself to being green. And that means the proof is then in the laws and in the regulations, which he'll have a great deal to do with. So it's all good. It's all very, very good. We've got some water issues that are out there that remain to be dealt with, and this is one of the great challenges California has. Yes, we absolutely have to deal with reducing our emissions and getting the carbon out of the air. Absolutely important. Nevertheless, we are already seeing the fundamental change in the environment of California. Snowpack is less. Floods are going to be greater. Our water systems are going to have to change. This is a fundamental issue that I'm working with the governor on, the legislature. And we're going to have to redesign our water systems, our flood systems, the delta of California, our coastline. All of those are already being affected, and even more radical and dangerous effects are coming in the future. So we've got a big task ahead of us. Arnold's working on all these things. Good. I'm going to just keep pushing him. Go, good. Arnold, go.
Good.
You're on the right track.
You got all of us behind you.
Yep.
So what about his position on nuclear power, and what is yours?
I don't know what his position is. I've been a doubter. And in the past, a strong opponent of nuclear power. I remain a doubter, and I remain an opponent. I think that in all of these energy systems, you have to look at the life cycle cost of it. And when you take a look at the total cost of nuclear power, what it costs to build it, what it costs to maintain it, to deal with the fuel as well as the waste, and then the decommissioning of a very, very dangerous machine, the total cost is, I think, not worth the effort. I would look, maybe there's new numbers. Hey, I'm open. Give me some new numbers. Figure out how to deal with the waste, which nobody's really done yet. You can
and not
it
likely
France
to.
And get it recycled into plutonium. I'm not sure that's a good idea. And there's talk about some power plant, nuclear plant down in Fresno, and I'm going, geez, that's a place where you have water shortage, and these things take a huge amount of water.
I'm wondering, you know, if you think the federal government should be subsidizing the building of nuclear power plants, given our situation with, you know, greenhouse gases, but also looking at all the factors we're facing?
Well, this is a big, big question, and this may be the reason why suddenly everybody's talking about nuclear power in California, is that the Bushies put $8 billion on the table and said, you all come and get this $8 billion, all you got to do is build a nuclear power plant. Now, if they put that amount of money on for biofuels or for solar or wind, we would have something that is really sustainable. So I'm really dubious about nuclear power for many, many reasons, and I just think that we'd be much better off going to solar, wind, biofuels, which create a new economy for California. Nuclear is not a new economy. You're certainly not going to be able to take this system and build it around the world without some significant risks. So you just take a look at what Iran is doing with their nuclear power plants, ginning up nuclear bombs. Same thing over in North Korea. So there's a lot of reasons for us to be very, very cautious on nuclear power, and better yet, spend our time on renewables.
And California, as we always say here, is quite a good example. We've been growing steadily, but we've also proven that we can be energy efficient. What can the rest of the country learn from that? And how far can we go with solar, wind, and biofuels and geothermal power? Can that, if we really invest in it, can it take us where we need to go? Or is that still only going to be a portion of our energy needs?
Well, it's going to be a third of our energy needs. California is committing us. And once again, Schwarzenegger says we're going to get 30% of our fuel, of our energy need from biofuels and renewables. And, well, let's do it. And we can do it. We do have those resources available to us. We do have a huge wind project that's just been put on that will soon come online in Tehachapi, assuming we can get an extension cord from the Tehachapi area down to the Los Angeles area. So this is one of the things environmentalists need to be aware of, is that there are trade-offs in all of this. If we're going to go to wind and solar and geothermal, there is going to be some change in our environment. We're going to have to accept new power lines in places where we didn't have them before, because that's where the wind, the solar, and the geothermal are. But the rest of the nation can learn an extremely important lesson from California, and that is that efficiency and conservation really, really work. We know that you can go back and repower existing power plants from coal to gas or even to biofuels, and reduce the greenhouse gas emissions. You can take those power plants and take the old coal power plants and redesign them so that they're far more efficient, get more energy, less pollution. And our gas-fired plants here in California can be redesigned and retrofitted so that they can be even more efficient. So the natural gas that we burn, we get more energy out of it. And each of us in our own daily lives can be much more efficient, and we can conserve. You know, how many of us have put in the fluorescent light bulbs? How many of us are driving hybrids or fuel-efficient cars, plugged-in hybrids? All of these things are in our immediate future. I mean, like today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So there are things that we can be done, and California has shown the way. We've almost doubled our population, yet we have not increased the per capita consumption of power, while the rest of the nation has doubled its per capita consumption of power. So let's get on with conservation.
Okay, and we have just a couple minutes left. You've been in public service, as I mentioned, for more than three decades. What's it been like from your perspective to watch this issue unfold? Climate change is what I'm talking about, the big one, and Al Gore's role in this. And what do you hear in Sacramento that makes you sure that, you know, the tide has shifted in terms of consciousness?
Well, I have been around three decades. I was around during the 1970 energy crisis, and there was a great interest in trying to conserve. We actually put in legislation. We put in the regulations for building codes and appliances and refrigerators and so forth. And then, in fact, at that time, I carried together with Assemblyman Gary Hart the first energy conservation solar and wind tax credit in the state of California, and probably among all the states, the very first in the nation. Unfortunately, interest waned over time, and Ronald Reagan came in, and all of that effort just disappeared as we saw the oil companies lower the price of gasoline, and suddenly we were back to where we were prior to that energy crisis. I hope that doesn't happen again. We simply cannot afford, as human beings who care about our children and our grandchildren, who are already on the planet, to say nothing of those that are going to come in the future, we have to solve this global climate crisis. And that means we've got to stay with this now, tomorrow, and for decades ahead. So as I look back on those years, I'm going, God, I hope we don't make the same mistake and have just a short-term interest here. This has got to be a generational, multi-generational commitment to save the Earth as we know it.
Are you among those who think this is a tremendous opportunity to unite all humans?
Well, certainly there's that possibility. And this is something that we in the very wealthy of countries and the wealthiest of states need to consider. That climate report that came out a week ago was very, very clear. The wealthy will survive. They will adapt. They've got the money to adapt and survive. It is the poor that will be most harmed and will quite likely be the first to die as a result of all of this. Patty and I, my wife and I, were Peace Corps volunteers 40-some years ago in Ethiopia. We lived in the most impoverished places of the world. And we know what's going to happen there. We know that in Africa, we know that in the poor countries, we're talking drought, we're talking famine, we're talking disease, and we're talking about the wipeout of hundreds or millions, if not hundreds of millions of people as a result of all this. So
the people who least contributed to it.
That's correct.
We're out of time. I'm sorry.
Thank you so very much, Betsy.
Did you have a closing thought? I didn't mean to cut it off.
Well, the closing thought is that it's all good. It's all good. The incredible interest of the public in this is good. We in public policy have to take advantage of this and put in place the policies and programs to literally save the Earth.
John Garamendi, you're all good. really appreciate your time and the work you've done, and the fact that you have been unwavering in your support for our environment in California and beyond. We'll be back right after these messages. You're listening to Eco Talk on the Air America Radio Network. California justice. It's justice.